The February cyber attack on Change Healthcare continues to cause prescription delays, and that is stressful on patients and doctors, but not if the doctors are using iCoreRx cloud e-prescribing software. iCoreRx had zero interruption, and iCoreRx is a product of iCore Connect, whose full platform of secure products helps streamline workflow and increase revenue. Check them out at iCoreConnect.com/MGMA.
Well, hi, everyone. It's Daniel Williams, senior editor at MGMA and host of the MGMA Podcast Network. I'm so happy to welcome Dr. Pam Agrabish and Scott Selby. They are both with locumtenens.com. They have been involved with a research paper, Innovation Imperative for Physician Retention. I know all of y'all listening, you're at practices, you're looking at ways to retain those physicians. So we're going to take a deep dive into this. So I want to tell you just a little bit more about our two guests today. Pam is the Vice President of Clinical Operations at locumtenens.com. Scott is a Senior Vice President, Enterprise Solutions at locumtenens.com. Pam, Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, thank you very much. Excited to be here.
All right. Well, Scott, we are going to start with you then. So I think without looking at the notes here in the research, just knowing what's going on at practices, I can imagine where some of the brainstorming came from initially, but let's just hear it from you. What motivated you to undertake this research on motivating clinicians to stay at their current practice?
Absolutely. I think the obvious answer is this is just something that plagues every healthcare organization out there, right? So, a few different observations we've seen over the last couple of years, I think, led us to really wanting to go into research this further. So, you know, we wanted to dig deep into the retention challenges that healthcare organizations face, because it's one of the most, it's one of the top stressors, right? I mean, especially in today's environment and everything going on, it's something that plagues everyone, like I said, and we wanted to dig in and really try to, you know, at least be a small part of what the solution is and how we get there. So one of the things that I saw, you know, that kind of shocked me was, you know, in that recent MGMA stat poll, I think it was 77% of medical groups reported they have no formal strategy whatsoever on retaining physicians and the retaining their staff. So I know that everyone listening probably, you know, knows this is really important, but just, it's kind of like, how do I get there? What are the next steps that I take? And where do we go from here? The physician shortage is something that plagues every, you know, part of our country as well. And every healthcare organization. So retaining the clinicians you have on staff today is something that's relatively easy, but extremely impactful in an initiative that every organization's got to be more proactive about, right? And so turnover impacts the bottom line. It impacts patient care, employee morale, team morale, and the overall culture within your organization, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, in speaking with healthcare leaders myself, it's been clear that, you know, in order to address turnover, they've got to do a better job of digging in and really communicating with their physicians and their clinicians in general, and find out why the ones that leave, why did they leave, and how do we do a better job of taking the necessary steps to communicate proactively with clinicians, as well as measuring and preventing turnover all throughout their physician workforces. So, you know, overall, like I said, it's something that impacts every healthcare organization and their bottom line. So we feel like this is something really important to try to help folks take the next steps on improving this, you know, clinician retention.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for providing that overview. So Pam, let's look at some of the key findings from the research. Scott was laying out what went behind, you know, working on this research in the first place. So what were some of those key findings that you found?
Absolutely. So I think that one of the biggest things was healthcare organizations are measuring performance, but not a lot of them are making it their business to measure employee engagement and individual development. And I think that that's probably one of the biggest key factors. So when you look at your permanent staff, and being a clinician myself, and, you know, having worked inside of a lot of hospitals across the country, you know, what does it take for someone to want to stay, you know, to keep your perm staff motivated and wanting to be a part of that team? I think that the other piece of this is that locums, especially, I got out of school about 25 years ago. And when I first got out of school, I would say that locums was not looked at. It didn't have the greatest perception, right? And now that narrative has truly shifted. Locums is now necessary. I think that the pool of providers that are coming out that are a part of locums organizations are excellent. They are trained at the finest institutions. People are looking for a new way to work in medicine. I think COVID was a huge shift in that as well, right? No one, I think, ever had work-life balance in medicine. And when you went into it, you didn't expect it, right? 80-hour work weeks and, you know, that was just mandatory when you first came out and went through residency. So I think that now, when we're really looking at how people are moving forward, it is, we know that we have to supplement our staff. We don't have enough. There is a provider shortage, both both nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and physicians, all of those pieces. How are we going to do that? So is it that we now have doctors that are clamoring to say, listen, during COVID, I was able to work via telehealth. I finally got work-life balance. I was able to work from home a little bit. There was a respite. I could, you know, my patients actually are happier. So we're seeing a lot of different pieces being brought together, right? Perm staff putting their hands up going, I've worked with a lot of locums, especially over the last 3 years because of staffing and what's happening. And I'm pleased. And I, you know, I think that that perception is changing too. They're seeing them as part of the team. I think that folks that are working locums work are happier. They have more control over their schedules and what they're doing. And so a lot of this is looking at how do we offer additional relief, support existing staff. You know, only 2% of respondents say that they saw locums as a factor for influencing physician retention. But I think that in all honesty, I think that if you were to look at locums as a solution to keeping permanent staff able to get vacations and moving through the process, I think that that would really, really be excellent. The other piece of this is higher compensation, bonuses, and benefits for physicians are viewed as the top factor for retaining them. And that was, I think, 71% of our respondents said that that was really, really crucial. So even though physicians are looking for higher compensation and benefits, they're also seeking out flexibility. So I think that if you can't give both, if you say, well, I'll pay you, but you can't take your vacation this year, or I'll pay you, but by the way, you have to work every other call weekend. Those of us that have been in the industry a really long time, they're throwing their hands up and they're saying, you know what? I've been doing this 25 years, 30 years, except I'm done. I'm going to go ahead and retire early. That we can't have. We've right. got to keep our workforce going. And so I think that if we can, you know, appropriately utilize staffing modules appropriately, then we really can preserve the medical model.
You brought up one thing, Pam, that really resonated with me. And you were talking about some lessons we learned from the pandemic. And there really was, I think it was a mindset shift in the healthcare world and really across all industries that people went, I'm resetting how I think about work moving forward. And you mentioned work-life balance several times. I just was at a holiday party last night and this gentleman was telling me he spent 10 years in DC and he was leaving his home at 5:30 in the morning, you know, taking a train into the city, and he was returning home at 7:30 and he had kids, and one of his sons just said to him, Dad, I never see you. I mean, you know, it's just that kind of thing that just hits you so hard and you're going like, what's going on here? So anything else you wanted to share about that kind of mindset?
Absolutely. I'm a huge proponent of telehealth. I've actually been practicing that way for 17 years. I was very fortunate to be one of the beginning founders of a program that we launched many, many moons ago. And I think that a lot of my colleagues across multiple specialty lines have recognized what a key piece this is to keeping medicine moving forward. It's not just us as providers, right? Everybody is looking for, gosh, it would be great if I could work from home one day a week or 2 days a week, not have to get on the train, right? The fact that I know that I can log on at 9, and even though I got ready at home, I saved all that commuting. But the other big piece of it is also what our patients are asking for. And now that they got exposed to having the ability to have telehealth, I think that that's the other piece, is they're putting their hands up and they're going, what do you mean you're not offering this anymore? What do you mean that my physician or my nurse practitioner can't see me through the screen? I don't understand. Why do I have to start coming back to the office? Or if I'm coming to the office, why can't I see my specialty provider through this method? Even though they're in California and I, you know, I want to connect. I think that the pandemic opened so many really interesting avenues for how we can move medicine forward and be better. I think for me the silver lining to COVID, because there were so many terrible things, but the silver lining to COVID was the expansion of telemedicine legislation and where we're moving forward for that.
Yeah, thanks for that. So Scott, I want to direct the next question to you. Pam had brought up some of that feedback from patients that we're hearing. So for this study, let's talk about those patient satisfaction scores, engagement, how that's measured. What are the KPIs that our listeners should be looking at then to see if they're on the right track, if there are adjustments they need to be making?
Yeah, so there are a number of different ways, and not every organization is the same, but I think one of the key factors, you know, one of the easiest ways I think is performance evaluations. And that's, you know, probably today how many organizations are gathering and evaluating intel on workforce engagement. But, you know, within those meetings, within those evaluations, we need to be looking at more than just how well our clinicians are executing on their duties. Are you hitting your goals? Are you doing what you agreed upon? Those kinds of things, but also talking to them about their career goals, their aspirations, advancement, what motivates them, and, you know, are we as your employer meeting that, right? And so, another easy way to measure that, measure satisfaction, measure engagement, is just regular satisfaction surveys. And one of the things that we found that was surprising that was large healthcare organizations, having 100 or more associates typically, or employees, they do a pretty good job of this. It's about, I think it was 71% of those respondents in large organizations, they are regularly surveying their associates and their clinicians and getting this intel. But smaller organizations, only 37% were sending out regular satisfaction surveys. So that's one simple and easy way. And there's a lot of resources out there now to help you get started with that if you don't have something in place today. But that's one simple way. And plus, once those surveys are implemented, it's really important to look closely at those responses, look for trends, look for changes you can make within the organization, and then also monitoring over time. You know, once you have the regular surveys in place, how are these scores changing? How are we making an impact on the responses and those types of things? Another thing that we found that was really surprising to me personally was, I believe it was just under 10% of the respondents had absolutely zero formal measures of workforce engagement whatsoever. So it wasn't on their radar at all. So I think, you know, that just tells me right there that there's a lot of room for improvement in the industry. Another thing that we learned is that monitoring physicians' progress against their career goals really tells them and makes them feel that their self-actualization matters, not just their work output, like I said earlier, right? So goal setting, what are they working for in terms of training and certifications, helping them with individual development plans, promotion, what promotions and advancements are they looking for? All of these things help make careers way more meaningful, especially when you're doing it together with your employer, right? So the other thing that I think could move the needle a great deal is mentorship. We were surprised to see that mentorship in medical workforces is generally less than half of the organizations out there are putting any sort of coaching or formal mentoring process in place. That's something that, you know, providing a coaching or mentorship program to clinicians, that everybody wins in that setup, right? So the mentee can be more productive, can gain a lot of valuable intel they wouldn't just from normal experience. For the mentors, they could potentially help them become future leaders and help build other skill sets and those types of things that can help in many areas of the organization. But overall, I mean, the mentorship and coaching programs really have a big impact on retention.
Okay. I wanted to ask you a question back to the survey. What have you found are the best delivery methods? Is this through an email blast? Is it some program or platform like a SurveyMonkey? Is it through Teams? Is it text? What? How do you get good responses there from people? Because surveys, you know, some I know that when we do them internally here, we keep pinging people at the organization, yeah, like, "Hey, come on, two more days." Do you incentivize people? What do you do to get that to work?
Exactly, and that is a tough one because we all feel surveyed to death these days. I think it's like you know, Christmas shopping right now. You can't even buy something online without getting three surveys from that organization. You know, wanting to know how they did, right? So, I think that, you know, there are a number of tools out there right now that and organizations that will help you kind of wrap your arms around this and know what types of questions to ask and those kinds of things. But, you know, they are generally emailed out to the organization. But the key factor is communication, like we said in all of this, right? It's making sure that all the associates know throughout the organization that this is coming, this is a survey we're taking, and this is what we're going to do with the information. And we're going to use this to help make your lives easier, make your life better, improve the culture, you know, all the things that, you know, I think are important to employees. We're going to take all that information and we're going to sit down. We're going to figure out how to implement it within the organization.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Pam, next question is for you. Let's just get down to the bottom line here. What are the main challenges that healthcare organizations face in retaining those physicians? What is it?
Absolutely. And I think if I hear this word one more time, I'm probably going to scream, but it's the truth. It's burnout, right? Everybody knows that word. Yep. If you haven't, you're living under a rock. And so, but I think that in all honesty, it's not the burnout that we think it is. So yes, people were tired and yes, they felt overworked, but in all honesty, a lot of them, when we looked at the survey data, I think it was 31% actually said that it was more that they felt undervalued or underappreciated in the job that they were performing. You know, they were used to the long hours, they were used to the excessive workload, and they certainly were striving for better work-life balance, you know, and I think also climbing out from the mountain of paperwork that EHRs unfortunately have created for a lot of us as providers. But essentially it was, you know, no one said thanks. Nobody said you're doing a great job or, you know, we're so glad that you're a part of the team. And I know that that sounds silly, but, you know, even doctors need to hear that. And I think compensation is still, you know, again, as we talked about before, it's not a surprise, right? We need to make sure that we're paying people properly. But I think the other piece that people came back with was saying, we really would like to have some flexibility to our schedule. So, you know, how can we do that? I think that we need to look more closely at how we're formulating healthcare teams. What does it look like to have a physician and a nurse practitioner and a PA and a nurse and an MA all working together to service, you know, a pod of patients, whether that be in an inpatient setting or an outpatient setting? But again, becoming more creative about how we're utilizing our medical workforce. And we know that APPs, which includes nurse practitioners and physician assistants, certified nurse midwives, as well as our CRNA colleagues who are providing anesthesia, they are all a critical portion of what we are building and coming for in the future. And that they will be, I think, as institutions look at how they're going to staff, if they're not considering those folks, how they're going to plug them in and how they can bolster physician teams, then I think that they may be missing a piece of this. You know, I think the other piece of it is also it's a competitive market. So if you want to stay on the leading edge of benefits and compensation and work-life balance, you know, what is it that you're going to do to provide your physicians with long-term solutions, right? Long-term options that say, yeah, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to leave. You know, I think that in the survey, most clinicians that said that they were tapping out was because, again, they had hit their limit. But it wasn't just because they were overworked. It was truly because they just no longer felt that same love and passion that they had for medicine. And that's something that we definitely want to prevent. We want to keep those good folks, seeing patients. They went to school for a really long time, and we'd like to see them, still being able to perform their duties, but do it, in a way that makes them happy. Mm-hmm.
So before I ask the next question, I want to remind our listeners what the title of this research paper is. It's the innovation imperative for physician retention. I wanted to repeat that because the next question really does deal with innovation and how that can play a factor here. So for this one, Pam, I do want to stay with you.
Sure.
Could you please share some insights from the research on that role of innovation in motivating clinicians to stay within their current organizations?
Absolutely. I think a lot of times, as a matter of fact, I often go and visit our clients and I'll sit down with them and they'll say, we're struggling in this area or this area. We just don't know what to do. We start sort of flipping through staffing models and what's happening, and I actually start listening to what those physician providers, APP providers have to say. And most of it is they just need new options, right? We need to look outside of the box for how we are going about. It's no longer just let me staff a 12-hour shift. Let me make sure it's covered. It's the fact that everybody is so much more complicated, right? The ICU to round now often takes so much longer than it used to. How can we be more efficient? How do we streamline? Where do we use underutilized opportunities to keep the workforces engaged and provide guidance and establish open-minded listening channels with our provider team so that we're really engaging with them on their feedback? I think that's a big piece of it. So giving the physicians and your APPs a voice is crucial. I think the other piece is that, by listening and starting a dialogue, we want to empower folks to impact the patient experience, right? If we have engaged providers across the board, then I think that they also take on a bigger sense of ownership and leadership inside of organizations, which we want. So, when we talk about innovation, it's not just business and let's be very fair, right? Medicine has become a business. Hospitals have to keep their doors open. They have to get compensated. They have to be paid in order for all of us to do the great work that we do. But there has to be that balance. So making sure that your providers have a voice at the table when you are making those key decisions, right? If you're going to turn on a telehealth program, if you're going to launch an APP program, if you're going to maybe reduce certain staff in certain areas, make sure that you're including them in those discussions, because the people that will be impacted, if you have their buy-in, if you have their support before you start, I promise you, you'll be successful. If you go sort of top down and we're not involving the folks that are actually doing the work, that's when we tend to see the most pushback. And so I think that the word of the future, in my opinion, is collaboration, right? Across medical teams, which is making sure that our doctors and our APPs, again, that's referring to our nurse practitioners and our physician assistants, collaborative environments. We know that those teams work well together. We know that really, really excellent care is produced by both sets of providers. How do we make sure that we are utilizing everybody so that they are producing at the top of what they can do, right? Hopefully we can get APPs to work at the top of their license, and we can have doctors who, appreciate and want that to happen. And the other side of this is also even our nursing staff, right? Making sure that we have enough support for them and for them to then support the clinicians, because we know that the world truly does revolve around nurses. And if we don't have them, that's a big piece of the puzzle that we would be missing. So I think when we talk about innovation, collaborative solutions, that is the way that we move forward, putting everybody sort of together into one pod and saying, okay, everybody put their hands up. We've got to solve these problems. I think we used to do it more in a siloed environment. And now it's, how do we use all of the tricks we have right up our sleeve? How do we use every tool in our tool belt to make sure that we're providing excellent care with great outcomes?
All right. Thanks for that. So we've got a couple more questions to address before we sign off today. Scott, I want to turn it back to you. And the next question really deals with those demographic differences. Did the research uncover anything in the factors that motivate younger physicians versus more experienced physicians to stay within those organizations? What'd you find out there?
Yeah, so 100%. I'm always fascinated personally by generations and how they're motivated differently and all those things. And And some of the surveys and things that we looked at this year didn't disappoint in that area. So we have a clinician survey coming out in January that you'll see published that really points to a lot of generational differences. So one thing that we noticed, the baby boomer generation is less likely to report burnout, actually. More likely to say they're highly engaged, they're making progress toward their career goals, those types of things. But millennials are more likely to cite high stress, lack of work-life balance as part of their contributors to burnout. And they are much more likely than baby boomers to feel undervalued and underappreciated in their daily lives and in their work. And so the Gen Xers, they are much more likely to be motivated by higher compensation, bonuses, better benefits, those kinds of things. The Gen Xers also seem to have retirement in mind and are more likely than the boomers to be motivated by a lucrative retirement plan. And then the baby boomers that are kind of encroaching on that retirement age or semi-retirement, they are the ones that are really talking more and motivated more by the ability to work part-time. I want those flexible hours, those kinds of things. So those are some really interesting tidbits that we found through generations. The other thing that we focus a lot on here at locumtenens.com is speaking to residents. And so we've gleaned a lot of interesting intel from them this year. One thing that I will say, I think Pam kind of alluded to this earlier, 10, 20 years ago, I mean, residents and early, new physicians into the market were not looking at locums. That just was not, that was not of interest to them. That just wasn't really a thing. And that locums lifestyle is really becoming more and more appealing to this generation that's coming out of medical school and residency now. They can pick and choose their assignments. They can see different parts of the country. They can see different clinical environments as well. So I think that's becoming more and more attractive to them. But one thing that has certainly become evident from talking to residents this year, is that young physicians are looking to practice medicine in an employee-centric culture, which is very different than a lot of other generations. They appreciate practicing medicine, but they want to do it in a way that does not cost them their lives, right? So they prefer a place that focuses on professional needs over just the company driving revenue and, overall output. A lot of these residents are seeing the older generations and their counterparts that are more seasoned, that sacrifice their home life. They sacrifice maybe their marriage and a lot of other things in their personal lives for the sake of business. And so one thing that's very clear with these residents coming out, a lot of them are not looking to do anything like that. They really want that employee-centric and they want that work employee-centric life. And also that work-life balance that physicians have not historically had.
Yeah. All right. For a final question then, I know we've covered a lot of ground today. So let's really drill down to what maybe a key takeaway or takeaways would be then. Pam, I want to start with you. What would you like our listeners to take away from here that can better motivate and retain those clinicians in their healthcare practice?
I think probably one of the biggest things would be, in order to win on retention, is, don't be a part of the medical group who doesn't listen, who's not looking towards the future and not planning, extrapolating out, if you will. I have this many physicians, I have this many nurse practitioners, they're this age, and they will eventually either move forward or get, you have to live in the present and you have to plan for the future. And so I think that is a big piece of this is, how do we continue to measure workforce engagement? Are you looking at creating KPIs around monitoring the health of your workforce, right? And really making that a planning item, if you will, in your meetings every month, not just a reactionary status to, Pam just told me that she's leaving at the end of the month, or I've got, this doctor who definitely is going to be going on maternity leave. And, what are we going to do there? And then how do we supplement? I think that we want to encourage people to stop being reactionary and start really, really planning for what staffing looks like, and making, I think, locums a part of your solution as a partner. I think that, you know, as Scott really very wisely said in his last comment, the medical workforce is changing. Their expectations of how they work are changing. And if systems don't catch up with that, there's going to be a big disconnect. And so we want to help them plan.
Okay. Scott, final takeaway from you.
Yeah, I mean, I think one simple way that I think organizations can make a big impact on retention is forming a retention committee. There's a lot of promising statistics out there around what this can do for your organization. So taking a small subset of your clinicians, and as well as the person that's driving physician recruitment within your organization, and forming a retention committee. Just the concept of having that within your organization is going to have a big impact on the clinicians throughout, right? And then, you know, this will also allow a voice from the clinicians to as to what they want, what's not working, what's missing, right? Those types of things. And so that can really help develop new programs and, you know, changes within the organization. And it's coming from, you know, the clinicians. It's not coming from the executives that are, you know, handing it down from the top, right? So I think that's one thing that will immediately make an impact. And then just, you know, growing that over time and really, I think fostering that kind of environment can have a big impact as well. So hopefully there's some little tidbits today that, you know, folks can take back and implement, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, Scott, Pam, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us. It was a great topic to discuss.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Daniel.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode of the MGMA Business Solutions Podcast. Thanks again to Scott Selby. He's a Senior Vice President of Enterprise Solutions at locumtenens.com. And Dr. Pamela Ograbish, she's Vice President of Clinical Operations at locumtenens.com. As a reminder, the research paper they've been discussing is titled The Innovation Imperative for Physician Retention. We will be leaving direct links to that in the episode show notes. So until our next episode, thanks again for being a listener to the MGMA Podcast Network. Most physicians don't have the opportunity to learn the business of medicine. What docs don't get taught, physician business training is a course developed by MGMA and administrators from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. This interactive course provides in-depth physician business training that can drive personal and organizational success. Purchase now for yourself or your organization at physicianbusinesstraining.com and earn 8 hours of CME credit. Again, go to physicianbusinesstraining.com to purchase and to learn more. Are you tired of dealing with time-consuming processes and outdated strategies? It's time for a change. Introducing Laserfish, the leading platform for optimizing process automation and data analytics. With Laserfish, you can transform your organization into a technology-driven powerhouse, ready to tackle any disruption that comes your way. Laserfish allows you to strategically optimize workflow automation so you can revamp cost-inefficient initiatives across your organization. Free up your staff's time so they can focus on more meaningful work. So don't let outdated processes hold you back. Unlock the power of Laserfish and take control of your organization's future. Visit laserfish.com today and learn how it can help you achieve efficiency, resilience, and success. Again, go to laserfish.com.